What's up?
Pretty cool.
Thanks. You want to be on? Yeah, I'll give you 30 seconds.
Yeah, we just started. We didn't even introduce yet.
Where's it from? I'm from here. She's in Oregon.
Yeah, I live in Oregon.
So normally we don't do it together, but we do. Here, you want just say anything into this for you? This will be our little stinger.
My name is D'Amico Dean.
D'Amico.
And I'm from the beautiful islands of Turks and Caicos.
Oh, wow. Are you here for Jazz Fest?
No. As a matter of fact, I just came here. And
talk now.
And while here, I heard that the Jazz Festival is on.
Did you go to the Jazz Fest? Once you learned that it was here or no?
No.
So what'd you do?
You think I should?
Well, it's over now, so. You can go. You can go and look at, they'll dismantle all the stage and you can watch them, but. All right, do you have one message for people?
I want everybody to come and visit Turks and Caicos.
Okay.
www.turksandcaicos.tc.
That's
come
a good
and
sign.
Visit. I am D'Amico Dean. You can find me at www.damekocdean.com. D'Amico C Dean.com. Stay blessed.
Stay blessed.
Stay blessed.
Shout out Turks and Caicos.
Have a good day.
All right. You can begin whenever you want.
That was so extroverted of you.
I know. Because one of the ways I deal with it is just by waving to people. Because they start looking at you. And it's rude not to wave. Did we start? Have we begun?
Welcome to GLHF, the world's first podcast outside.
In the humongous city of New Orleans, Louisiana,
Is it humongous?
It is humongous. 300,000 people. In the metro area.
Oh, that's not that big at all.
No, tons of people, though.
Wait, really? There's only 300,000 people?
It's a very small city.
I was going to say, this trip, I've been thinking that it's, like, actually not that big.
No, it's not, because it's stuck between, like, swamps, the lake, and then the river, and you can't. There's no way to expand it.
Right.
So, and you can't, they can't put any more skyscrapers up, because they have hit, like, the weight limit of the ground.
Right, they're going to start sinking.
They have started sinking, yeah. So soon enough, if we sat here, if this podcast was long enough, we would be underwater by the end of it.
This is true, yeah. Maybe within our lifetimes.
How do you like the river walk? You said you've been here before.
I'm into it.
Do you guys want to see?
I did an establishing shot of the water.
Great.
That they're seeing right now as we speak.
Well, if anything cool happens, we'll show you. Mostly it's just people. There's a guy walking by with a yellow bag and a Bruins cap? And there's a clown over there. And
yeah, the clown's not real.
There's a boat. There's a windsock over there. You know how you read those?
They go the direction the wind is, I assume.
They do, but you see the segments on it represent different speeds. So if all of them are filled up, it's 15 knots or more, obviously.
Right. What is a knot?
A knot is like the distance it takes to travel one nautical mile. And I don't remember what a nautical mile is. It's like a little further than a normal mile, like an American mile.
Okay.
So... that's enough.
But yeah, I can't escape New Orleans, apparently. This is the third time I've been here.
Yeah.
And if you had asked me before I had ever been here, I would have said there's probably no reason for me to ever go to that place.
I know.
And I've been here three times.
Three times in 3 years, right?
Not quite.
When was the first time?
It's been like almost 2 years since I've seen you, period.
That wasn't your first time here, though.
That was the second time.
That was 3 years ago is when you first came here, right? About.
I don't remember. That might be true.
Yeah, I think it's about three. So once a year, you're kind of making it annual.
I guess.
You went from care about New Orleans, don't want to go to New Orleans, to I'm coming here every year. And this time you didn't even want to. Well, you wanted to, but you didn't plan it.
Yeah, I kind of last minute, I'm here on a family vacation with my husband's family.
Shout out to his family.
Shout out to Noah's parents. Thank you for having me on the trip. To go to Jazz Fest, because they used to live here.
Oh, I did not know that. Did I know that?
You might have known it in a text.
That's good, because then if
do
I ever meet them,
text?
I have something to talk to them about.
I'm
always trying to bank small talk topics for like the variety of people, so otherwise I
put that
get
away.
Paralyzed with social anxiety.
But it's just his mom, Joanne, that's here.
Okay, shout out to Joanne.
Shout out, Joanne.
Shout out to, I already forgot the game, D'Amico. Shout out to D'Amico.
Shout out to D'Amico.
Shout out to Turks and Caicos.
I like that we didn't even ask him what he did or why he has a website.
I thought about it, but I figured
I didn't really want the conversation to go on for another 20 minutes.
That's why this is what I was thinking about, because this is our first time ever doing it in the video game of life.
Right.
And I do think it's very important, because the types of people who will come up and want to say something will usually, they'll really go on. So you got to give them a time limit up front.
Yeah, they want to promote something.
You can have 30 seconds, say whatever you want.
Yeah.
And I could do it anytime I want.
This is what I've learned
from
watching Podcast But Outside, which is a podcast that's outside.
Right.
Shout out Andrew Michon. I'm still waiting on your DM reply to have me on the show.
Whoa. But we can make that. I can make it happen. You want me to make that happen? I can do that. Let's do it.
I'm getting so off track.
Because there's so many fun people walking by. They're all having a great time.
Dinner last night about how, like, I still don't even really have that many followers, but it is funny how you just, like, get into a club when you have enough followers. When the number is big enough, then suddenly people start replying to you.
Yeah. That's how I determine who I reply to. It's either late at night or I'm slightly inebriated, then I'll reply. But, otherwise, like, I just look at their profile and go, is this going to get me clout
bad?
Or not?
Like,
how do you think we should be determined? Because if you're not doing it by that, you are going to subconsciously filter by something else. How cool their profile is, how cool their name is, the time of day it comes. You're going to filter it somehow because you can't reply to everybody. So how do you think you should filter who you reply to?
Flip I don't know. I every think time it makes DMs you? Sense. And here's why I think it makes sense is because, like, usually if somebody has a bunch of followers, it's because they are also, like, a creative person and they've gained some, if they've gained a following for that, it means that they're, like, relatively serious about what they're doing. And
this is a
do you disagree?
No, it's such a very generous way to look at it, but yeah,
I'm generalizing, but I'm just saying, like, I understand why it happens because there's not really another way, and it's like, I don't know.
It's a meritocracy. If you're worth anything, you have followers, and if you don't,
right? It's somewhat a meritocracy. I know that's not really true, so I'm trying to be careful with my words. I'm just saying that, like, there's not really another way for it to be done. So I understand. Like, you have something to relate to with another creator. There's, like, some kind of common ground there.
I just think it's true.
I'm feeling a little bad, I guess, about my rising fame and
you could tank it probably pretty easily.
Yeah.
Stop making videos. Anytime. Be one way to do it.
I can tank it anytime.
You could just undo the whole
thing. I might already be doing that because I haven't put out a video in 2 months.
True. True.
So I'm currently tanking.
Well, we'll see what happens.
But I have this podcast. What the hell were we talking about
before?
I
guess you did do all the work to set it up. I just sat here.
I am
trying my Celsius.
Well, we've said I'm the director, right?
Yeah, you definitely are. The producer, the director, the producer, the editor, everything.
So,
what does that make me?
That makes you my co-host.
Prop co-host, yeah.
Yeah. I don't remember what the hell I was talking about before I went on that tirade about follower counts.
Yeah, this reminds me of when we did one of these in Call of Duty while trying to play Call of Duty.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm playing a video game of, like, looking at a bunch of people who are walking by.
I think you're getting distracted. I'm paying attention.
That's probably true. I can see that. I'm like, tired, you know.
Just lock in.
Okay, sorry.
Here I am in New Orleans for Jazz Fest, and it's been an experience. I think now, on my third time to New Orleans, I finally, like, understand why people come here.
Oh, really? First two times hanging out just with me didn't do it. You came with other people. This place is sweet.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess that's mainly because now I've gone at night. I've only done stuff during the day before.
Okay, say more.
And last night I went to Bourbon Street, stone cold sober as I always am, walking down Bourbon Street.
Like a judge.
In the middle of the night, 11 p.m. to midnight or so. And it's crazy how different it looks at night.
Yeah, it's like,
because I've walked around the French Quarter several times now in the daytime.
Yeah.
And Bourbon Street, like, I know that there's bars there, and there's always people getting lit in the middle of the day, too.
Always.
But you just don't see, like, at night, all these neon signs light up.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I didn't even notice these signs in the daytime at all. It looks like the rest of the French Quarter. What are you pointing at?
The sun, that's why. It doesn't matter.
Right,
it doesn't,
yes,
yeah.
The sun. Yeah. You're just like, shout out to the sun.
Shout out to the sun. Shout out to Turks and Caicos. Yes, I don't like Bourbon Street really at all.
It was extremely overstimulating.
It's really overstimulating, and even if you're someone who is not sober as a judge all the time, it's not even the most fun place to not be sober as a nun.
Nuns, known for being sober.
Known for being sober. You know, I was hiking.
Pause.
Why? They're not going to be able to hear that.
it's going to
be so loud.
They're not going to be able to hear that.
I was hiking. So the reason why we did the two podcasts, and then we actually might end up missing a week. I don't know how this is going to work, but
I might edit this on the plane and have it tomorrow.
Sick. So I was hiking. I saw 20 nuns hiking in Zion National Park.
20 nuns.
20
hiking.
Nuns. Never looked up once. Didn't say anything. Single file.
They're on some kind of pilgrimage.
They didn't leave footprints. They were like floating.
You're making a little, stuff.
I am, yeah. It was just 20 very nice nuns, and they said hi to us, and we said hi to them. It was fine, but it made me think about
that
Mormons.
That would have been better if they ignored you. That would have been so
very
mysterious.
Weird, but they were actually just, they were like, how do you solve a problem like Maria?
Huh?
How do you solve a problem like Maria? You don't know that?
I don't know what you're talking
Sound
about.
Sound of Music. She was a nun.
Oh.
And then she made out with the,
it's been a while since I've seen Sound of Music.
He was just Austrian. Anyway.
All right. Little nun field trip.
Little nun field trip.
They did have fun once in a while.
I was wondering, yeah, if it was a, because, you know, it's, Zion obviously is a very biblical thing, and there's a lot of Mormons in Utah, and Zion National Park, which used to have a different name that was named by people who
nuns aren't
may
Mormon,
or may not
though.
Have been here before the Mormons. We changed the name to Zion because President, was it Woodrow Wilson? They founded the National Park Service. And they said, nobody can pronounce this Native American name. No one, who's going to go to this? And they said, yeah, we're too, this country's too racist. Can we change it to a more normal name so that people will visit? And they did, changed it to Zion.
Okay.
I know. I'm dropping knowledge on you today.
anyway, so
Bourbon Street's fun. We should have done the podcast on Bourbon Street. We could have been walking around.
That would have been chaos. Talk about people coming up to us.
Yeah, that's how that one guy got started, I guess.
We couldn't get all these people off us on Bourbon Street.
Yeah, true. We're struggling right now.
But yeah, I saw it at night and I was like, okay. So people come here because it's like, what I was saying is it's like Disneyland for alcoholics.
Yeah,
it felt like a theme park.
Disneyland can be Disneyland for alcoholics if you do it right.
True.
You never gone to Epcot?
Right.
They do that. They
People
have a challenge.
People do be drinking at Disney.
They say drink around the world. You get a drink in every country in Epcot.
But so it's neon sign. There's a bar. There's like five bars per block. They're all like right next to each other. Like
if
doors
not,
right.
Honestly, more. If you count both sides of the block.
Sure. I'm just, I don't know.
It's significant.
And there's music blasting out of every single one. So if you stand in the middle of the street, you're hearing 10 songs at the same time.
And not even necessarily like. It's like Pitbull. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like club music.
Yeah. Very funny.
You think they should all be playing like jazz?
I think people just think that it will be when they do that, and then they go.
There's more.
What's up? How you doing? What are you drinking?
Watermelon margarita.
Nice. Happy Sunday. What was I talking about? Sorry. You're right. It's my fault. I don't remember what you're talking about.
Just be socially awkward like me.
Sorry. I mean,
look into the camera. Yeah. Yeah. Lock in.
Lock in here.
Lock in, gamer.
Yes.
What was I saying? So, lots of music blasting. There's more of the, what you think of New Orleans music and live music and stuff during the day, I feel like.
Yes. Or if like, you
or
can
like
go.
Or like early evening.
Yeah. You can go to like Frenchman Street and stuff.
Yeah.
Which people say is like whatever Bourbon Street is now. Frenchman Street will be in 15 years, so it's like lagging behind.
Oh, you think?
Yeah, people say there's like different neighborhoods that the thing moves in, just like any community that you evolve and you grow and things change.
Right.
So,
well, they run out of space on Bourbon Street, so people got to start opening up other places, I guess.
Did you go into any establishments on Bourbon Street?
Yes, we went into the first place we went. Oh my God, what was it like? Patio something.
Oh, Pat O'Brien's.
That has hurricanes.
Hurricanes, yeah.
Because,
hurricanes and hand grenades.
We were told that we had to try hurricanes, which
did
I
you
did not.
Take a,
I took a sip.
Yeah, and you said, this is intense.
It tasted like a melted Otter Pop.
That's what, it sneaks up on people because of that, yeah. Because it's like, it's like icy.
But like with the, of the
with
alcohol.
With a little bit of
the,
So
everybody else was like splitting hurricanes, and I was there with a Coca-Cola as usual. Getting turned on Coca-Cola.
You probably had just as much fun as everybody
else.
And
you know what?
What?
Here's what I'm saying. I don't think... I still don't have any desire to drink because I was still, like, the most energetic person at the function. Alcohol.
Alcohol is extreme. It is poison. It makes you less...
We were in this bar...
energized.
If anything... Now, I don't know if this is going to be an insult to me, but if anything, like... People found me more entertaining when they were drunk. Like, people were actually laughing at my jokes. Maybe that's a bad thing.
Yeah, that might be. Who do you think you are insulting with that? Just out of curiosity.
I'm trying to say that, like, everybody else is no fun without being drunk except me.
Unless you buy in. Yes, I agree that there is, like, a thing everyone has to buy. Whatever the level of...
I'm saying that I'm already drunk fun normally.
But you have less fun when everyone else is drunk. But other people don't know
more.
How to have fun.
I'm saying I kind of enjoy everybody else being drunk because they're just on my level.
Incredible.
Of, like, entertaining.
That works really well, then.
Yeah.
So you want...
Like, I was in this bar. They were drinking Hurricanes. They were playing, honestly, at a very respectable volume, just some, like, 2000s top 40 music.
Like,
and I was the only one willing to get up and shake ass.
Of the people drinking Hurricanes?
Yeah.
That surprises me. Wait.
Everybody's just sitting there. I'm the only one willing to throw ass at the Hurricane bar.
I'm trying to picture that. I really wouldn't imagine you would ever. Given how you're reacting to every time I wave at someone, I'm surprised that you're someone who's getting up at the Hurricane bar. But I respect that. I think that's amazing. Good job.
So we sat there and drank Hurricanes for a little bit, and then we just kind of went on a little tour of going in different bars for like 2 minutes at a time.
Yeah, that's how you do it.
Just to look at them.
Yeah.
We went in
Hopefully
one,
more than 2 minutes. Cause
we went in one that was doing karaoke because I'm like, I have this idea in my head that I want to be a karaoke person.
We've talked about this, yeah.
And then
you are.
And then
I get
into the bar and I'm nervous.
And that's part of what you could find comfort in everyone else being drunk because then you really don't have to be nervous. Because everyone there's like a social buy-in.
There were people up there really performing.
Yes.
And it intimidated me a little bit.
Like, better than you
it's
think
you also,
you'd be,
here's
but
the thing.
Everyone would, they would love it.
I need to do, my ideal karaoke situation is that I walk into the bar, and at the moment that I'm feeling like, I want to do it, I want to do karaoke,
yes.
I get up on the stage.
But part
of, the fact
no.
that you have to sign up and wait like
yeah.
an hour
but
to do it.
But that's part of it, is they ice you out. They make you have to sit on it, so that it always comes at the worst possible moment when you're thinking about leaving.
You have to anticipate it for like an hour.
Yeah.
It's horrible.
And your nerves
and then
are at the
nerves
and you're like,
build.
I'm just going to leave. And then they go, ma'am, time to sing karaoke. And you're like,
and I don't want to do it anymore.
Well, but that's the best time to do it. That's what karaoke's for. That's how you get, it's kind of like Hot Ones, how you like eat the spicy thing and then you tell the truth. You sign up for karaoke, get in this
yeah.
horrible state of mind, and that's how you truly get the beauty of the performance.
I don't know. I need to go like right when they open so I can just be first.
We can go somewhere right
and
now.
And nobody's there.
Yeah, we can go. I know exactly the place. We can do whatever. We can sing whatever
anyway,
you want.
Anyway, and we did go in the dungeon, which you said was the
yeah.
one that you like.
I like that funny hallway that leads back to it, you know?
It is. It's spooky. And you know, what I liked about it is that it reminded me of Enchanted Forest, which you're going to go to when you go
yes,
to Oregon.
Yes, it has that.
And it's like.
Exactly. There's
very,
like a little fake river and a bridge.
Very homemade fantasy vibes.
Yeah, but like Bourbon Street, like it was made by,
yeah.
and hasn't been touched since it was made and been walked
yeah.
on by thousands of people who've drank one too many Hurricanes.
But everybody was making fun of it because there was no music playing.
The music broke while we were there. Well, maybe they like fixed it and then broke again, but we were there like 2 days ago.
Yeah.
And we went and the music was
blasting.
So there
normally is
music.
And then
it turned off and the bartender went, huh. And then they went, it was like 30 minutes later, they came back and they said, we can't fix it.
So public announcement, the music is broken at
the dungeon
right now. Yes,
no music at the dungeon, probably until later this week after the tourists leave so that they can take the time to fix it. So
yeah,
don't visit the dungeon until later this week.
We went in the dungeon, there was no music. And so I took my earplugs out because I was previously walking down Bourbon Street with my earplugs in.
I wish I would have had earplugs all weekend, honestly. I think that's the move. Shit's too loud.
Yeah. And I'm trying to protect my hearing.
Yeah, you ever seen
that
movie?
Because my hearing's already really bad because of all the concerts I went to as a teenager where I would stand right next to the speaker with no
yeah.
thought to my health.
It's the idea of losing hearing is really scary, so I think it's reasonable.
I've definitely already lost some, and I don't even want to get tested because I'm scared. But there's like certain frequencies that I can hear better in one ear than the other. It's not good.
Yeah. I mean, if you can still listen to music and it's fun, that's probably fine. Just like stop.
Yeah. I don't want to cause
don't
further
do
harm.
Yeah. Just like hold off right here because you're going to get your like 10% degradation as you get older.
So that's just so funny. I was walking down Bourbon Street sober with earplugs in. That's my vibe.
It sounds like you had fun though. Everyone else had fun. So it worked out.
It was fun because I enjoy my family that I'm with.
Yeah.
So
also, there's just so much to, like, people watching to do and see.
Oh my God, tell me about it.
Yeah. It's a good place.
But yeah,
for that.
I've just realized, I don't know, a lot of people will like make fun of you for not doing substances.
Who's or, making like, fun say, of you for that?
Plenty of people. Think Name I'm them. Like I'm like naive and I don't know about real life because I don't drink
don't
or
do, enough
do
drugs.
Substances.
Yeah.
And then the more that I'm around people that doing substances, I'm like, I know exactly what's up here.
Well, I think I had a very funny realization. This is one of my favorite, like, anytime someone's trying to tell me, because, you know, people will say, like, just do this and then you'll understand more about, you know, like, with psychedelics and stuff. And I just remember this when I first moved down here. I was working in a restaurant. I was a busboy. And there was an extremely grumpy bartender. And he was the most miserable person there. And after work one day, you know, everyone goes out for drinks and you're hanging out and talking about whatever. And he looked at me unironically and he said, you got to do DMT. It changed my life. I saw God and I understood everything about the universe. And then the next day he went back to work and was like using racial slurs and just being miserable. And I'm just like, that's the guy I think of when I think of people going like, if you just do.
Yeah.
Everybody's equally miserable all the time.
Yeah.
And I, you know, not to discount, obviously, there's like people have had wonderful experiences and there's medicinal whatever, blah, blah,
blah. I just
blah.
Think it's not but as big of funny. A deal as people make it
you
out
get
to be.
You get out of it what you want to get out of it, just like with anything in life, yeah. You know? But I always just thought that was funny. It was like, yes, you will, you truly see that all things are one and that everything is
We are
is
YouTubers.
Beautiful. Shout out YouTube. Do you want to say
you.
Something? Can I stop doing this? Really quick.
You want to say
five
something?
Seconds. You can say five. Say whatever you want.
Hey, YouTube.
Say something.
Subscribe.
Subscribe. That
Thank
is, that's
you
exactly
so much.
Right.
Oh, my God.
Perfect. See?
Dude, maybe we need to do this outside
do
all the
time. Do it more. Exactly. So can I or can I not talk to people as they walk by? Should I? What do you think?
You can.
You just got. I got to feel the right
I'll
vibe.
Allow it.
All right. I can let you be the
arbiter. I can
the
cut
arbiter.
Them out if they're too annoying.
So true. Like that. Don't put that in. That stuff.
Those kids. Don't put that dumbass kid in the video.
Hey, did you know that there is a huge pile of sand in Colorado?
I saw you tweet about this pile of sand.
Huge.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking 750 feet tall.
I kind of assumed you were talking about a dune. Are you talking about
yes,
a dune?
But it's like 40 square miles. It looks like you're in Egypt, but you're in Colorado. Did not know that this existed. It's a national park, and it's 40 square miles. It's a 750-foot high pile of sand that's just in the middle
okay, but you're
of
talking,
America.
Are you're talking about like an area of dunes or one dune that is 40 square?
You know, where's the line? Because when you're up there, it sure looks like an area of dunes, but technically it's just one big pile of sand.
Well, you could say that about, like, the Sahara Desert,
correct.
If you wanted
so
to.
So how big does it have to be before it becomes... If are you saying if it has two bumps, it's multiple dunes?
I would say, yeah.
Then it's hundreds.
Right.
But it's basically one big pile.
Yeah. That's a funny way to describe it, as a pile
That's,
of sand.
It is what it is.
So were you walking around on this pile of sand?
In the middle of the night, it was about midnight, we tried to walk up to the top of the pile of sand, and it was really weird, very scary. It felt like being on a different planet, because you can't see anything. There's
walking
no animals
in sand
or anything.
Is very... physically taxing.
Turns out, yeah. So then eventually we just laid in the sand because they told us we could see the Milky Way. If you get up to like over the dunes where it blocks out any of the other surrounding light, but we
was this
get
your
up
first dune climb?
First dune climb, third dune film, and I thought it was amazing. So shout out to the Great Sand Dunes National Park and the national parks in general.
Oh, that's
I know
a
that
very
you're
apt
on this
name.
Too. It is. Yeah. I looked at the mug that I bought and I said, that's actually perfect for what this is.
No shit.
It was just great. Because that's the first national park I've ever been to, is the Great Sand Dunes National Park.
How can that be true?
I know. It's weird. I think technically we drove through the Badlands when I was a kid. But like since having a brain that functioned, that I, you know, since being out of high school.
Okay.
That's the first national park I've ever like intentionally been to. First one I've camped at. And I was... Those national parks are crazy.
Yeah, they're pretty cool.
They're amazing.
I was routinely climbing dunes as a child because we would go to the Indiana dunes.
I didn't know you had dunes in Indiana.
Few do.
How tall are they?
Not very. And they're kind of gross.
Okay, garbage.
Because they're not exactly pure sand.
It's not a national park?
Not quite on national park status, right. No.
It's in the parking lot of a Walmart.
I want to say it's... I mean, I'll have to look it up. When I was a kid, I thought it was like by one of the Great Lakes, whichever Great Lake it is that dips into Indiana at the top. But I don't think that's actually true. I don't know where the Indiana Dunes are. I'll look it up and I'll put it on a map. But there was like one specific big dune that we would climb every time. And I'm not going anywhere with this story other than saying that.
No, but now we can relate. Now you kind of know what
now
I went through.
Yeah,
now I know what you went through.
Yeah, exactly. So. We have some pretty good dunes in Oregon, too.
And national parks, from
what
I'm told.
Way better than the Indiana
and
ones.
Just like beautiful things.
Yes.
So that's exciting to
Many
me.
Many gorgeous areas.
I kind of want to be one of those people who goes to all of them, you know?
All the national parks.
Get a little one of those passports.
Yeah.
Stamp them off.
Make a big checklist.
Yeah. So now I've gone to 2, 3.
Yeah, we went to a few on our cross-country road trip. That's just interesting to me that you haven't been on to more, because you've been doing a lot of road trips recently, and you just haven't been going to national parks, I guess.
Where the heck are we? Yeah, because there's none of them, or they're not in the South. So, like, you know, most of the road trips is like I'm going up to D.C., and between here and D.C., I'm sure there's like a forest or something, but...
Surely there's like an Everglades National Park.
The Florida Everglades is a national park, that's true. I've never been
there. Look at me knowing things.
I know, very good. Alligators.
Whoa. I like that this is going to be in the establishing shot, and I'll just show everybody a picture right now. But I like that this clown is kind of caged.
Yeah.
This clown is kind of in a cage.
Is that to protect him from us or to protect us from him?
But yeah, so I think I understand the energy of New Orleans now that I've seen the nighttime drunk side. I'm like, okay.
Nighttime New Orleans is super cool.
It gives some context, I think.
Yeah, I thought Jazz Fest was actually fun, though. I'd only gone one other time, and I didn't enjoy it at all. But this time, I had a nice time. Partially, I think because I got separated from the people I was with, and I just started wandering around. There's so much
it was
cool
all right.
stuff.
So that's the other thing that I can talk about is Jazz Fest, because that's why I'm here.
Even flow. You know that song?
Is that Pearl Jam?
That's Pearl Jam.
Yeah. I did not go to Pearl Jam. I went to Leve.
Yes, I didn't know that was how it was pronounced. Nobody does, I guess.
I think it's more like Leve.
Everyone in my group was saying like Leife, Lofe.
Well, I used to say Laufe in my head before I knew. But then she's made some videos
like a YouTuber.
Explaining to people how to say it. But Jazz Fest has been cool. It's my first ever music festival. I got the wristband on right now.
That's
I got
like
a four-day wristband.
I would
Thank
have
you,
assumed
Joanne.
You would have gone to music festivals, just like
no,
you
here's
me
the
with
thing.
National parks.
I love concerts, and I love live
that's
music.
That's why I assumed.
But I like to go to the artist I want to go to.
And yeah, so festivals are not the place, necessarily.
Right.
Yeah.
And I've never... I've like heard of artists that I really like going to festivals, but then I look up... I'm scared I have bugs on me. I think it's just dirt.
I'm scared the cameras aren't recording. I get so nervous.
We're good?
We're good.
We're good.
Hell yeah.
I actually, you wouldn't believe how many times I cut out when I'm recording videos.
Oh my God.
That I
Constantly.
Go behind and check.
You know, that's, I got
but
an Apple
Watch
now
thing.
So I can check it. Yeah, but it's so old it's out of date. So like I have to turn it on like 10 times before it works.
Yeah.
And then if you accidentally hit the thing, it like zooms it in and stuff. So I got to get a
Why
new
don't
one,
they but... just, listen, Apple, I know you're watching.
Tim.
Just put a light on the other side when it's recording. Turn a light on. So I know.
Well, yeah, why wouldn't they do
a
that?
A red light.
Yeah. Why do you think they didn't?
I don't know. It would also be useful, like, for many situations, so you know if, like, some creep is videoing you in public.
Yes. And I can't... are there any downsides to that?
It's like in Japan, they have mandatory camera shutter sound.
Yeah. That's weird that they ended up in a place
anyway.
Where they had to get that. I guess maybe
anyway,
we're all
Apple,
there.
Please get on that.
Red light.
But, Jazz Fest, what was I saying? Oh, I just have never seen a festival lineup with more than like one artist that I really want to see before.
Was that the case this time as well?
Pretty much. But I got this trip, you know, I
were
was just
any
tagging
surprises
along.
Surprises of people
so
you did see that you were like, oh,
it.
That was pretty good?
Honestly, Dumpster Funk was cool, but I only
Dumpster
saw
Funk's
them for like
great.
30 seconds because we were just walking trying to find somewhere to sit.
I mean, they're just like a live band, you know? Like, it's just they make you go like, yeah, yeah.
And then I'm really glad, this wasn't part of the festival, but I'm glad I got to see LCD Sound System.
Oh, yeah.
Which you told me about like the day before.
Yes,
and
I
managed to get a
you
ticket.
Got in there, yeah. I heard that was one of the best shows of the whole festival weekend, actually.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't part of the festival at all. Most people there were not. There for Jazz Fest. They were like locals because this is just like their tour. It's like the LCD Sound System tour they're doing
really?
Right now.
Okay. Is that the same with Wilco? Do you know? I don't know if you listen to Wilco, but I don't know what that is.
Okay. Noah was making fun of me a little bit because it was all like people 10 years older than us. And I tend to like bands like that, I guess.
At LCD?
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Because I also, for some reason, I'm a huge fan of Death Cab for Cutie. I just really like them. I'll always like them. It's
Shut
very
up,
comforting music to me.
It's
even
nice.
Though you ever like look up the lyrics of Death Cab for Cutie songs?
Only the one song.
They're a little bit creepy, desperate.
Well, yeah, it was 2005, and he was like a white dude with a guitar
that got
emo famous.
But like
even
still.
More than the average, you think?
What do you mean?
Well, give me an example, if you can. Not to put you on the spot.
He has one song called Ingenue that is so cruel that is supposedly about Zooey Deschanel because they dated for a little bit.
Okay.
And he's basically saying, you know, eventually you're going to lose your looks and nobody's going to hire you anymore. And is it worth it to, like, put on this persona of fame and
Why
cuteness?
Was he saying that to her?
Because they broke up and he was bitter
he
about it.
He was really mad? Was he saying, like, you should, why did you break up with me? You're not, like...
It's literally a diss track. Like, there's no...
Here's the thing.
There's no content to it other than diss.
Are cool. They are. And I'm not saying like that one is one or is cool.
It's a diss track that's like a slow, sad ballad, though.
I think that's totally fine. But it has to be. But it has to stay within the realm of, like, a diss track. You don't want to feel like you're hearing a private argument made public, you know, someone just being rude.
Right, it feels a little bit like that, though. Anyway, I just, you know, obviously I don't know the guy personally, but I get the vibe from his songs that he's a little bit of an incel, for lack of better words. Like, very bitter about women that he's been with.
Yes.
So I guess not an incel because he has been with
women. I was going to say, yeah, I was trying to parse that.
But it's like if he hadn't managed to get any of these women.
Ben Gibbard,
he
if
might.
You're listening, can you email us? Just let us know. Just can you tell us?
Let us know what?
Are we
What's
on the
question?
Right? I just want to know, is our theory correct? Or are we misinterpreting it?
Is he going to agree with us that he's
yeah.
an incel?
Is this what the song was about? Do you voluntarily... Never mind.
It's many of the songs, though. That's the one, the first one that comes to mind. Because that's the one where, like, I actually sat down and read the lyrics one time and I was like, wow, this is really cruel and mean. Anyway, but if I listen to it and I don't pay attention to the lyrics, I do. There's something about it that's very, like, calming.
You
to
never
me.
Felt that way about someone? Where they, like, made you so mad and you were like, you're going to amount to nothing. You're
no.
You think you're ugly. I think you're terrible. And I hope you die. You've never felt that way about someone?
No, absolutely not.
Yeah, me neither.
I haven't really had enough human interactions to have that happen, I guess.
Ben Gibbard has. I guess that's what it is.
Yeah, he's...
Or maybe not enough.
He's all up in those interactions. And he's still single, so that maybe that says something about
okay.
his attitude.
I would say that that's another piece of evidence for your theory, right?
Yeah. Also in that category is, what's his name? What's his last name? Adam whatever from Owl City?
Oh, he's from Minnesota.
He's so strange.
He is, yeah. You didn't hear
Do
that
I sound
song
like
and
I'm
get
just
that.
Complaining
you didn't get
about
that from that song.
Well,
you're complaining about a very specific genre of people.
But I also grew up really loving Owl City, and then I listened to the words on that, and he has a whole song about like stalking a girl. It's very weird.
I'm gonna have to look this stuff up. What's his real name? Adam.
Adam something.
Adam, if you're listening,
I think Adam
us.
Young.
That could be right.
He
is from Minnesota, so could be strange.
Anyway, so he's got some weird lyrics, too. He's also very Christian.
Really? You can hear that in Fireflies.
Yeah, he's more Christian with time. I think that the most recent couple albums he's put out are like 50%+ Christian songs.
That explains why he's not popular anymore.
Right, well.
When's the last time a really, really Christian song got popular?
Well, they're popular within the circle, the Christian circle. That's the thing.
That's true. They make a lot of money.
Like, the Christians know what the popular Christian music is, and they're into it.
I wonder what it is. I guess you had band like Paramore when they started was a Christian band, you know? And then there was like Flyleaf and
really?
Skillet. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hayley Williams, she might even still be kind of Christian, but I get the sense less so. But yeah, a lot of those early songs
Whoa.
Were like, I think they were partially marketed as a Christian band until they blew up in the kind of pop punky sort of thing. Like flyleaf, skillet, seventh, no, not seven. What's that? Switchfoot. That's what it is.
Okay.
Yeah, there was a big, like, Christian rock revival from 2008 to 2012, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's
some of those bands were
okay.
It's like
a, it's kind of like a different universe. Because I think there's some,
they have
like,
a different media
sect
and everything.
Or whatever that you're, like, actually not allowed to listen to non-Christian music. I don't remember what it is.
I could believe
But there's,
that.
Like, some, there's some form of Christianity where you can't listen to secular music, is what they call it. And so it's like, as a result, all these Christian bands, you can find like any genre of Christian music.
That does explain.
Because they have to replace.
Right. You need like, because you don't want the kids being like, but I love that song. And you're like, we have that song at home.
Yeah. Just listen
it's
to Jesus
one.
Rap.
Yeah. Right. Slightly different. And that creates a large market for those parents buying a lot of Christian music.
Yeah.
Imagine how cool that would be. Growing up in that and then going out in the world and being like, getting to hear actual music.
I know. I've seen a bunch of, and I was also just talking about this on this trip, how it's really sad how often in a conversation I'll go, this reminds me of a TikTok I saw. Because that's
give it to me.
Basically every conversation I have, I'm like, oh, I saw this on TikTok. But I did,
what did you learn?
I saw several TikToks recently about people being like, like grew up in extremely Christian households where they could only listen to Christian music, and like their only experience of live music was at worship services, and how they realized when they grew up and went to a non-Christian concert that like that feeling that they thought was the feeling of God
was just music,
was just live music.
Yes, that's a it's a smart thing to hijack the moving power of music, I guess, and then be like, yeah, that's God, actually, is what that is. Because when you go, even when you, when we saw My Chemical Romance, you feel, maybe you wouldn't put it in these terms, but in some sense, allegorically, you feel the presence of God when you're listening to, like,
sure.
live music in that way.
I love
It's a very
concerts.
Real thing. Yeah, I never thought about it in that way, that they were like, it would be like giving someone really good drugs and being like, that's God.
Yeah.
Which is, I guess, wraps around to the bartender, who was like, it's God, I found it. I took DMT and I
right?
found God.
Yeah.
Turns out it was just drugs.
Yeah.
Turns
but this
out
guy
it was, just
was
music.
Like, I went to a concert for the first time, you know, that wasn't at church, and was like, and felt bad because I felt exactly the same as I did in my services with the music going. And it turns out it's just music.
Yep. You're going and you're seeing like Opeth or some sort of.
But I get it because I love concerts.
They're amazing.
That's the
Maybe
one
the best
thing since I was. I don't know, since I became an adult, I guess, on my own, that I will drop everything, I will go broke, I will spend all my money, I will skip all my classes to go to concerts.
That's reasonable.
There was only, like, one show that I got tickets for and didn't go to in Philly because I had, like, a huge project due and I was so sad about it. And I wish I just would have gone.
Who was it? Do you remember?
It was Caro Caro Benito.
Oh, that's too
and
bad.
And I really liked them and I have not had a chance to see them since and I really wish I had gone.
What's your GOAT concerts? Like, top three?
LCD Sound System is legitimately one of them.
Wow.
It was really good.
Hell yeah. I've heard that, yeah. I've
it
had
was
some
really
surprising...
good, and it was like...
Were you a big fan before?
I was a fan... I mean, I listened to them a lot in high school, I would say.
But you're not like actively like...
I hadn't listened to them for a long time. And absolutely way better live, no offense.
Nice.
But like, basically every song was kind of remixed in some way. I like when artists do that.
It's smart
because... you get a new experience.
Yeah, and live, it's just different than listening at home. Like,
yeah.
And so it's better to cater to that
and
as
it's
opposed
also
to
like,
just playing it.
In their music, they do a lot of these like... big drops and things, like really dramatic like bass lines and stuff. And it just feels totally different live. It's like it was supposed to be live. Because they, I don't know what kind of technology they were using. They had this one song where like the hook of the song is that they play this crazy bass note for like 5 seconds straight.
Uh-huh.
And like the whole,
just like,
my whole body was vibrating. It was like, I don't know what, they
had
to have some crazy speaker.
Or something, yeah.
Maybe
I have
they never
just attached.
Heard anything
I
like
guess
that.
A speaker is just a like a.
This is a big vibrating surface.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I guess if you just make it big enough and put it under the auditorium.
But it was crazy. It
I
seemed
bet that
like
was so good.
It was meant to be live. And then this is actually a good question. I love concerts. What else did I really like? I remember thinking Death Cab is really good because
back to them. Shout out Ben Gibbard.
These are not even like my top favorite artists of all time. I don't know why I'm talking them up so much. But
I'm looking for just favorite concerts, you know?
But they're really good live, and I think it's the same thing with LCD, where they've been touring so long that they just know exactly how to do it.
Yeah, that's how I felt about Pearl Jam. I've never seen them before, but I was like, they're actually just really good at
Pearl
that.
Pearl Jam was at Jazz Fest, and I just had no interest.
They really knew exactly how to do it. I'm not a Pearl Jam fan, but
yeah.
Some bands just got it.
Like, they just got the sound set up exactly right. Like, whatever they do to, like, set up the mics and mix everything.
Oh, I see. Okay, I thought you were talking more like performance energy. As opposed to just, like, quality of the
not
sound.
Not exactly, because they were just kind of standing up there performing
okay,
the music.
Gotcha.
And Ben Gibbard actually cracks me up, because I ended up seeing them, like, twice in a year, just because they happened to come through Chicago.
I like the large preface.
I'm
going to
show you what
preface.
He was doing.
Do you want me to point the camera at you, or are you going to just
sort
You'll
just
like...
see my legs, and that's okay.
All right, that'll be fine.
This is his dance that he does to every single song.
Uh-huh. I love that for him.
That's what
I think
he does
you're right
every
about all
the
rumors you're spreading about him. After I saw that dance, I think I'm on your side now.
Yeah. He doesn't know how to do
I feel
any
like that's
other
like
move.
Beck does that too, doesn't he? No, Beck, who am I thinking of? I can't remember.
But Ben Gibbard be up there doing that little shuffle for 2 hours straight.
Cardio.
Anyway, so that was good, like, sounding. I've seen Beyonce twice.
Pretty
which,
good.
Of course, is always amazing. The first time I saw her was in Philly in a big stadium. And I always say this, how I got floor tickets last minute to see Beyonce in, like, 2016 for, like, $250.
How did that happen?
Because that's what they were going for, resale. And these days, that would be, like, $1,000.
Oh, this is a while ago.
In 2016. That's what I said.
That is, I guess, kind of a while ago.
It is
she
a while
was still
ago.
Very popular. But that was kind of like the pre...
But just concert tickets gone up like
and
crazy.
And also like concert production has gotten insane. Like between Beyonce and
this
Taylor
Swift.
This is true. It's tricky, I guess, because, you know, recently I saw, you know, the band Kraftwerk? Fun.
I know
Ansa
that from
Octobahn.
Your Instagram story that
all right,
you posted.
Well, I saw this. It's like a bunch of old German guys. And they had this amazing show with great production. It was awesome. But it's in like a 2,000 seat theater. And I guess it is tricky. If you're Beyonce and you're like, okay, I've just sold out the Superdome. There's 70,000 people here.
Yeah.
How are you going to translate what could be done pretty easily in a small club to that without having to spending a fucking $1 billion on like lights and stuff, right?
And it's cool. I love concert production stuff.
Okay. I always think it's too much.
You think it's too much?
I just kind of like when people just... Well, I don't honestly care what the production is, but I want to feel like the performer is in the room, responding to the room. They're actually engaging with the energy. A lot of it, when they do so much, it gets really stuck together, and I feel like I'm watching a musical, which just isn't my thing. Like it's like Michael Jackson. They're like, oh, it's amazing, but he's on the notes. The best moments of Michael Jackson is when people come up and try to hug him on stage, you know, like unexpected things. And then you get these real things that happen. But a lot of artists, it's just like it's just watching like a movie, you know, whereas LCD Sound System, you change things and you're actually in the space. That's what I liked about Pearl Jam, is it felt like they were there. There was no production. It was just four old guys on a stage.
Yeah, I guess I beg to differ on that point.
Everyone has different opinions.
I love
opinions,
the crazy
you know?
Lights. Whoa.
You like that beat?
I think the boat's leaving.
Yeah.
You're going to miss it. Go run.
I love that boat. You can it's $2.
Really?
Yeah. Well, it's just a ferry. It goes across.
$2 boats.
There's like a cute little neighborhood on the other side with like a pizza shop and a bar and a coffee shop.
Is that an island over there?
No, it's just the other side of the river. It's the west bank of the Mississippi.
Okay.
Which, as people like to say, but we're looking east. That's true. We are. Welcome to New Orleans.
Wait.
That's the west bank of the Mississippi.
Okay.
But because of the way the river curves and comes up this way, it's the western half of it, but it's curved up, and now we're looking east and seeing it.
I gotcha.
So it's just a funny thing.
Yeah. I don't remember what I was
but
about to
say. But it's cute over
say.
There. It's fun. Yeah.
I think that beep just kind of erased my memory.
Every time somebody walks by, my whole mind goes blank. I'm like, I have to like try to read.
Do I have anything else to say about Jazz Fest? Oh, I was just going to say
Did
that.
Did you eat anything?
Oh, because I was talking about my favorite concerts, which I guess I'll just shut up because I could go on about that forever.
All right, we can do a concert podcast.
But yeah, I love the big productions because my favorite artist of all time is a Japanese artist called Perfume, and their whole thing is huge.
A lot of that stuff is really crazy.
Their concerts are like a very big deal. They have like outfits that light up. They do like 6 outfit changes. They have platforms going up and down,
yeah,
lasers, absolutely everything. And it's so awesome. And I'm seeing them 2 nights in a row in Tokyo Dome.
Wow.
In September by myself.
Damn. And that's going to be pretty good.
I'm going to cry. I met a guy that had seen them when I was in Japan for a month. I met a guy that had seen them in Tokyo Dome in 2009, which is the DVD that I watched of them. I've seen that DVD probably 200 times.
Yeah. Is that your GOAT artist right now?
That's my GOAT artist of all time.
Of all time, okay.
Ever.
You don't think it's going to change?
No.
Because it wasn't your GOAT artist 10 years ago, you know?
It was.
20 years ago.
Well, yeah.
At some point, yeah, right.
Anyway, I met a guy that was at that concert, and he was like a celebrity to me because I've seen that DVD so many times.
That's so
funny. Just
because,
like, he was probably in the crowd of this DVD.
He had the energy, the stank on him, you know, of being in the, not the literal, you know.
I was like, I couldn't believe it. Anyway, so Jazz Fest, I was just going to say, I don't think I'm a festival person. I never really thought I was.
Sure.
And I've confirmed now. It was a fun experience, but I think it is because I like the production and I like to see the artists that I want to see.
Yeah. It's nice when it's, and this is probably how some other festivals are as well, but I like the idea of a festival being over multiple days, which they usually are, in a city though. So like you're just in a place, you're not stuck in a,
right, you're
in
not
a
in the middle of the desert like
whatever,
Coachella.
Yeah. And just like forced to hang out in that festival space always. You like engage with it as you want to.
Mm-hmm.
So then it's just like a series of concerts you can or not go to, you know?
Exactly. Because Jazz Fest is like right next to the actual city, so you can just walk into the city afterwards.
Exactly. Yes. And then there's all those fun block parties and stuff. And I saw you sat on the bayou last night for a second, or you were near it.
We were just driving by.
Oh, well, your Instagram story made it look like you were chilling at the bayou, but.
Well, yeah. No, those were just some random people.
I thought that was your crew.
No.
I was like, look at those silhouetted people. How romantic that is.
I'm just a poser.
Wow. Well, whoever that was, shout out.
I just thought it was a nice sunset.
Yeah.
But yeah, shout out to those random people on my Instagram story.
I do have a quick aviation-related thing. Really interesting I wanted to bring up that I learned this week. So a lot of people like to say this, myself included. Flying is the safest form of air travel. We say this a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never looked that up. I've never looked up.
Is it not true?
Where do we get that data? What is that measuring? How do we measure it, right?
Wait, safest form of air travel is what you said?
Safest form of travel. Like,
right.
Like flying
air travel
is safer
is a pretty
than,
narrow window of things.
Yes, it would be like, paragliding.
Helicopters.
But we say that.
Dirigibles.
Flying is the safest form of travel. It's like, you know, regulated.
Sure.
It turns out there's some nuance there. And I haven't finished looking into it, but just because I feel like I've repeated it so much, you know, people said, is it safe to fly? And I was like, of course, the data is indisputable.
Yeah, this is something you're always saying.
Right. But it turns out, again, when you look into what do we actually mean when we say that, you can measure it in different ways. So the main way that airlines measure it is they go, like deaths or injuries per mile traveled, right? That's how they measure it. So if you add up all the miles traveled, and compare it to the number of injuries versus cars. So if you travel 1 million miles on a plane versus
a car. Of
course,
you go so far
on an airplane. So I looked at that and I was like, huh. I mean, that's a good data point, but like.
Right. So they're comparing like if you fly across the country versus drive across the country.
Right.
So you have so much more time for things to happen.
Exactly. So that was my first thing. I was like, huh, that's a little interesting, isn't it?
Because I think I and many people would assume that they meant like taking one flight versus taking one drive.
Well, that's where it gets tricky, right? Because if you did it that way, so that then the way the insurance companies choose to measure airline safety, if you're insuring a traveler or insuring an airline, is they measure it by not mile traveled. Oh, I can't see. It's on my phone. I wrote it all down.
Is it the time?
No.
I would measure it by time, like an hour on an airplane versus an hour in a car.
That probably makes overall the most number of sense. It was per person. So if you get like 1 million people traveling by air versus 1 million traveling by car, the insurance injuries people do it that way, I think. I might be a little wrong about this, but it's like for every 100 million people that travel on an airplane versus 100 million people in a car, this is how dangerous they are. Turns out airline travel is more dangerous than traveling a car if you measure it that way. But that's not necessarily perfect either. There's like problems with that way of measuring it. Do you know what the only two forms of
You're
travel?
You're scaring me. I got to get on a plane tomorrow.
again, I'll look into it more because I'm trying to figure out, because what's interesting about it is what is the best way to actually measure the safety? Because you say by hour, but you could do it by mile, you could do it by person, by passenger. The only two forms of travel that are more dangerous than flying, if you are doing it by passenger, motorcycles, bicycles.
Yeah, yeah.
Those are the two that are more dangerous. So I got to like double check all the sources and dig into all that stuff. But I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah.
That it like it probably still is, if you look at it, you know, pound for pound, the safest way to travel. But it's not. There's maybe some more nuance there that I want to know about, you know, because I'm espousing these things, right? Say, oh, come flying. Let's go flying. Yeah. Holy cow.
You're a propagandist.
I'm a propagandist for the FAA or whatever. AOPA.
All right. Thank you for that terrifying message for my flight tomorrow.
You're going to be just fine. Why don't you bike? See how that goes for you. Because like how would you measure? Like if you had, because your instinct I think is smart, which is like per hour.
I would have guessed they did is like this amount of time on a plane.
That's going to weight it really, because then like walking is probably the least safe. If you walk 100 million hours versus fly 100 million hours, there's so much that can happen because all problems with a lot of, you know, you get robbed if you walk. You can't get robbed on a plane probably, except by the airline. Am I right?
No, but I mean,
so it's an interesting problem. I thought you, as an intelligent person who like knows about things, would like some insight. Yeah, well, that's why I brought it up, because you like know about like numbers and stuff. I thought maybe I'm wrong.
I don't really have any insight, but I think I'll be okay because I have a lot of followers now, so I'm like a main character of the world.
Yeah, so you, it's not. It wouldn't really the odds.
So if something happened to me, it would be like a really big deal.
Yeah. What airline are you flying?
United.
They're very safe.
You think?
United.
What's the worst one?
In terms of, again, this is that same thing, though. How are you measuring safety exactly? Are you saying maintenance problems, actual crashes, crashes with injuries? Yeah. So it gets really complicated. In general, I think...
Is Spirit safe?
I think the last I looked at it, the airline with the least number of incidents, which can be anything from, oh, the brakes didn't work well, but everyone was fine, to we crashed into a building, you know, but the one with the best safety record was Spirit Airlines, actually, most recently. But they had the worst record for like being on time and stuff. And then it maybe there's like other ways you can measure these things.
Yeah,
so it is nuanced. The world is full of nuance.
It is.
It's tricky.
Yeah.
You know, hopefully we can solve
it. Fly a plane or not? It's up to you.
You'll probably be. I mean, the odds are in your favor regardless.
Yeah.
It's still low percentages.
I'm not really
going to
not
death.
Go places. So it's really just a matter of whether I'm nervous while doing it.
And the nerves probably shorten your life per, you know, like over time more than the actual flying.
Talk about it. The dangers of anxiety. I love that because like there's, then you just get more anxious thinking about how your anxiety is shortening your lifespan.
Yeah. And you just rapidly.
It's just all bad.
And then you die tomorrow. It's just.
Yeah. See you guys.
Do we have any good comments last week? I haven't read any of our comments these past couple of weeks. Did we get any good ones?
I want to acknowledge the comments a little bit. Granted, I can't read them because we're using both of our phones for video right now. But lots of people had very nice advice on how to talk to your neighbors.
Oh, yes. Okay. Tell me about that. Did you take that advice?
And I appreciate that. I've noted it down. I want to tell you my one attempt that I made, because I did say last time that I'm going to attempt to talk to a neighbor and get back to you.
Yes. And you did.
So I frequently will walk to a convenience store to like get a little iced tea or a treat.
Mm-hmm.
Usually every single day I'm getting a treat. And I've stopped wearing my headphones because you said last pod, you're like, you can't get the headphones on if you want to talk to people.
Definitely. Because it automatically turns people off from...
And that sucks because I love my little walks with my headphones on.
Fortunately.
I've taken the headphones off. That's the first step.
Mm-hmm.
And I was walking one day and I saw this girl probably in her 20s or like near my age gardening outside.
This sounds promising.
And I said, hello. And she said, hello. And I moved on.
Was it nice? Did it feel nice?
It felt nice. She was a little bit... She had a little bit of stank face because I think she was tired from the gardening because she was like
hopefully she doesn't hear this
moving mulch
that's
around.
Fine. Yeah.
No, I just mean like, it wasn't bad. She was very pretty.
Yeah.
I'm not, that's not an insult, but, no, so that's my, that's the only update I have is I did at least attempt to talk to one person. Here's the thing,
I bet she appreciated
it's like,
that.
It's like embarrassing to stop. Like if I just said hello and then stopped walking.
It's embarrassing for 30 seconds. And then,
and then it's
done.
Like, and then it's the humiliation of like, oh, she's stopping because she wants to have a conversation.
Yeah. And then she's going to go, okay, fine. I got to take my headphones out or, you know, whatever it is.
I don't know. I want to do
but
it.
But I don't think, I think the whole point was just say hi. And if it, and if they go, how are you? And you go, and you feel like
here's
stopping,
the thing,
then you
yeah.
stop and it's fine.
Maybe my step one
you don't have to force it.
Is I just start saying hello to everybody.
I love that.
And at some point, somebody will say a little bit more back, maybe.
Yeah, this is good practice out here. We talked to like three people.
You've been talking to people.
Well,
I've been ignoring them.
No, you talked to them a little bit. You handed the microphone to a
yeah.
stranger.
That's true. What if he ran away?
Could be. These phones might not last the rest of the pod.
These microphones were like $300.
Can't do anything in the presence of the clown. $300.
For the pair of them.
They are nice. I like them a lot.
For the pair of them.
So we'll see if they sound. They do.
They're
you use
super
these,
nice,
right?
And so. I don't know why. Yeah, I use these for everything. These are my regular, like I use one of these for my regular videos, like
yeah,
Let's
like
Plays
it.
Or whatever.
Okay.
Because it sounds just as good to me as my huge mic did before.
Yeah.
And I don't really know what the hate is because they're the DJI little lav mics that supposedly every influencer has. And so I see so many comments online of people being like, cringe, you have the influencer mics.
Yeah.
But like, they're very convenient and they sound good and they're nice.
There's a reason. It's like why everyone says the SM7B is like the podcast mic, but it's also like the gold standard recording mic for the last 50 years, you know?
Is it just, do things just become cringe by virtue of being used a lot?
By influencers, yeah.
Right.
Definitely.
But, so I don't know. It's like, would it be any better if I had a different brand? Here's the thing the comments are saying, though, is like, I think they think it's cringe that the mics are small. Which I'm not sure why
yeah.
that is.
People complain, no matter what. I've used like four different mics in my videos, and different people complain about each set.
Yes.
That one's too small. That one's too big. It's not for this purpose.
Why does the size matter?
Why are you
matter?
Holding this? Well, people get annoyed because it's mostly people who are bitter at the cool young people who hold the lav mics up to there or do the, they hold
yeah.
The air and the ear pod
yeah.
microphone up. And so I think people just got like a revulsion to seeing that tone because it's associated with like a certain haircut. And a certain way of talking of, like, young people.
I guess.
And then they're like, oh, what is that sound? Jesus.
It's just funny because I think on one of my videos I was, like, using this mic with the foam cover over it so it looks more like a regular mic.
Yeah.
And somebody commented, thank God you're using a real mic this time
yes.
instead of
well,
those tiny
ones.
Well,
people love – it's the same people who
but
complain.
So it just had the appearance of a real mic. It
exactly.
was still this tiny mic.
It's the exact
so the joke's
same,
on you.
You're an idiot. It's the exact same energy of people being like, thank God they're actually playing their instruments. You're like, what? How? What are we doing? How old are you?
Right.
When they go to see like a pop artist who's like has a backing track. So, you know, people are going to be grumpy. This is what they are. So
did you have any final topic?
I did. Yeah. I wanted to shout out Love's Travel Stop. You know, there's not very many things in this country that I feel like function well and I are like good.
Mm-hmm.
And most of them are tangentially related to like road trip culture, national parks, the Eisenhower Highway System, the rest stops associated with that, Love's Travel Stops. What an amazingly well-run company. You know, they're probably horrible.
American
they're
institution.
Always clean. They're always well-staffed. Everyone's friendly. They're always stocked up. The gas pumps always work.
How do you feel about Buc-ee's?
Buc-ee's is similar. Buc-ee's is a little much for me, but
that's
it's
the
same thing.
That's the one that's like a mall, right?
It's like a Disneyland if Disneyland was a gas station, kind of. Yeah. they are at some point, there's going to be hotels you can stay at above a Buc-ee's. I guarantee it. And they're going to
oh,
have
for
like
sure.
Buc-ee's experiences. But yeah, Buc-ee's would be another one. It's like every if you go to a Buc-ee's, it's going to work. There's no question about it. Whereas like a lot of other places, I feel like we're primed.
It's going to work.
To not, this is like what you were talking about, fast food, right? One out of five times, it's just not going to work, you know?
Yeah.
Walmart, it's not going to work.
Yeah.
Among other reasons, so we don't like Walmart.
I love a reliable
Target used
business.
To be reliable, not even that much anymore. Target's kind of fucked too. Who else? Like, there's nothing.
Wait, how has Target let you down?
I mean, for a variety of reasons, but This is probably just a post-COVID problem.
Not that I'm a Target stan. I'm curious.
I go there and they just don't have shit that their website says they have. That's just an annoyance to me. And and ever since I managed a business briefly, I have so much less sympathy for management being bad.
Yes.
And it's so obvious to me when a problem is management, which is almost always is the case of what happens. So, Target's been annoying. But like, how many businesses, it's like you go there and it's a chain, a national chain, and it works. Chipotle had it 5 great years before it fell apart.
You've talked before about the downfall of Chipotle.
Chipotle was so good for 5 years. And there just aren't. McDonald's had a great probably 20 years where it was like just incredible. And then whatever. So, you know, just shout out Love's Travel Stop. Shout out to anyone who works at the national parks, state parks. It's
oh, my
good
God.
Stuff.
For real, like park rangers, heroes.
They're just good. They're always
friendly.
They're
all like so passionate and
lovely.
Good people.
And they were like, do you want to sign up to be? And I said, yes. I mean, let them finish. I said, yes, I want to sign up. I don't care what. Anything you tell me, I'll do.
Tell
I will
me anything. But what was I just going to say? I can't keep a thought in my head for more than 3 seconds.
I thought you were locked in.
I was locked in.
Kind of, yeah, this is what happens after an
my
hour.
My version of locked in is quite a bit less locked in than other people can do, I think.
I like that.
But, you know, we've done about enough time.
All right.
Is there anything else to say?
Let's see. Shout out Turks and Caicos, I guess.
Yeah, shout out Turks and Caicos.
Everybody go visit.
I'm really curious to edit this and actually go to his website and see what the hell his deal is.
Well, now soon
he didn't
enough.
Even say like what he made or what his business was.
Maybe it's just a
it's
visit,
just the
visit Turks and Caicos website. It's just he has a personal
he's
website.
He's on the tourism board.
That actually would be
he
the only
the
thing that would
board.
Make sense. Yeah. Well, we can do a podcast in Turks and Caicos maybe.
Yeah, next time. Okay.
Well, great.